Thank you for the instruction of your spirit. Thank you because we receive your word in accuracy, wisdom and knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at the new sins of a wise man. Hallelujah. The meditations, the arguments of a wise man. And we have looked at the fact that the book of Ecclesiastes is inspired by God to document the errors of man. That's what it's inspired for. To document the errors, the mistakes, the wrong pursuits of universal man. Inspired by God, 2 Timothy 3:16. It's profitable for doctrine, which you have been doing. Profitable for reproof, evidence, which you have been doing. Profitable for correction, which we have done. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully furnished, unto every good work. Book is so inspired to point us, like every prophet in Bible, to Christ Jesus, Hebrews 1 and 1. So the necessity for us to look at that book and see man's state. Man was found in sin and in darkness, Romans 5:12. All are sin, come from the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So man was not just in a place, state of sin, but man was found in a place of vanity, emptiness, tohu bohu, void. That which has a beginning, which has an ending, and thus cannot fulfill. Hallelujah. I've seen that the theme of this debate is to argue from both sides of the divide, good and bad, wealth and poverty, wisdom and foolishness, and come to one conclusion. Everything is empty. So a man trying to achieve things is only throwing himself into vanities of life. We'll come back to the epistles and drive home the point in the word. So in chapter 8, the man begins to muse and is debating. So you can see the insincerity of preachers taking these things out of context. Can you see it now? Lifting things. Money is a defense. Wisdom is a defense. There's a time for everything. When we want to bury men, there's a time for everything. If you say that, that means you're not born again. Because you are saved. When you are saved, you have eternal life. If the man who has died physically has eternal life, he has not died. I almost said he has not dead. Okay, he has not dead. The man, John 11 says he will never die. So that's the truth of God's word. So to lift Ecclesiastes 3 is a time and purpose for the only time spoken in scripture. Now is the time of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. Now! Verse 2, sorry. Now! Is the time of salvation. This is the day of salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. And it's an endless day. Hallelujah. An eternal salvation. So it's an eternal day. And a man will have left the vanities of this world into the reality that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Now, in chapter 8 it says, who is the wise man? Who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandments, and that in regard of the host of God. Be not easy to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever he pleases. That is a king. He just looked at a king. Say, look, I'm advising you, when you want to interpret something to a king, be very careful. He says, why? Where the word of a king is, he's not giving you a doctrine. Amen. There is power. For who may say unto him, what do you do? Talking about an earthly king, the kind of power that they wield. Whoso keep his commandments shall feel no evil thing. A wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. To every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the mystery of man is great upon him. That is, there is time to everything. Examination. That everything you do, there is coming a test to it. That's the word judgment. So he says, that's the mystery. Upon a great man, above a man, that is great upon man. For who he knoweth not what shall be, For who can tell him when it shall be? Look at verse 8. Very, very instructive. Very, very instructive. For there is no man that has power over his spirit to retain the spirit. Neither had he power in the day of death. For there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that have given to it. So he's saying that at the end, that a man does not determine the journey of his spirit. The spirit of man is who man is. That is why salvation is that, how do I put it now, that strength of God, that dictate of God to man's status. It says even the most wicked man in the world cannot determine the journey that his spirit will take. All he can do is live it within time. So he said, all I've seen, all this have I seen, and applied my heart unto every work that is under the sun. There's a time when one man ruleth over another to his own heart. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten the city where they had done this. This is also vanity. That is, after a while, whatever a wicked man has done, again, they forget it. This again is vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. That is, they begin to wonder, how can somebody who rule this country, you know, and kill people who is coming back again to rule again? How can soon something have been done to him? Say, well, so people now come to that argument that, well, let me also do evil. After all, this person did evil, nothing happened to him. Now, universal man begins to wonder like that. If you look at this very well, this is a spirit without control. It begins to reason into events. And this is where humanity derives a lot of its theories from experiences. Man now begins to wander around experience, begins to explore and investigate that after all, this one did this, nothing happened to him. After all, that guy stole money and now he's a rich man. After all, that person did this. After all, this person. So it begins to wander in trying to create those experiences for himself. Proverbs 18:1 says that through desire, a man will separate himself and will now begin to intermeddle with all kinds of wisdom. And there are people like that today who are experimenting their lives. They are saying, if two can do this, I can do it too. They are saying, if I among me this, I can do it too. So they begin to experiment with their lives. And again, they end up in vanity because it doesn't happen like that. So Solomon begins to say, look, he says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. So we mustn't be carried away by externalism. Externalism. Look at the reason today why people, you know, I was saying it with all respect, that you see churches where their members cannot come to what they call the altar. Thank God we don't have an altar. We have Jesus. Amen. Where they come to the altar. You can't even go to the pulpit to come and to even go give a testimony. They have a place they give to give a testimony. They will now bring the governor of the state to come to the place who's a Muslim. That place you thought was the holiest of all. The guy will now come there and he'll talk for 30 minutes. Whereas when you are coming there, they'll give you 5 minutes, they even write paper for you. Sometimes things like that make Christians get discouraged. So okay, so when I have money too, you can give me respect. So we begin to glorify what sinners have done. Or what sinners are, what they possess. And he says here, I said, look, anyone that fears God, it shall be well with him. It shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are shadow, because he fears not before God. You are looking at the days of a sinner on earth, but the days of man go beyond the earth. Are you there? So you must never reason in vanity. Verse 14. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth. And there be just men unto whom it is happened according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked to whom it is happened according to the work of the righteous. I said, this is also vanity. Then I commended myrrh, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and be merry, for that he shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God gives under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the wisdom that is done under the earth, upon the earth, for also there is that neither day or night seeth sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because through a man labor, though a man labors to seek it out, yet he shall not find it out. Ye therefore that though a wise man think to know it, he shall not be able to find it. That is, he's saying there is no way. There has to be help from above to understand life's issues. Trying to discover things by experiences, by investigating, you will come to that place that you have known nothing. That's why I look at people when you want to be reading one book by this person. And you know, I put some on Facebook about some books, Think and Grow Rich and Power Positive Thinking. I was amazed at the kind of defense some people were putting, sometimes these books speak wisdom. I said, some of these writers, in fact, most of them are cultists. These are people that in their mind, they don't retain knowledge of Jesus. They will tell you to your face, Jesus did not die for their sins. And then you take wisdom from those materials. Why? Because you have a pursuit of vanity. And you believe that the means to those things are the means of the wicked. So you lean on the means of the wicked. That is why a Christian will be reading a book by Kiyosaki and a book by Vincent Peale. And he will enjoy it. And when he takes his Bible, he doesn't find fulfillment in it. Why, for instance, do people like reading magazines and they can read it for 3 hours? But when it comes to the Word of God, they are bored. They have been exercising futility. That's the reason. Why would somebody come to church and then in 40 minutes, his attention is taken away. He can't follow. And yet, he will stay before a football game. 90 minutes. You call his name, he cannot hear you. But when he's in church and he says, he turns around. Then they call his name, he just... So unfortunate. When I was younger, we watched one game. Canada 87, me and my dad were watching Nigeria vs or something. And so my mother put beans on fire. You know, we're supposed to, was it beans? I think it was. So she said we should watch the thing. The only thing, she was just God. The match was 2-0, 2-2, and we're watching it. The beans, of course, went to hell. It just burnt, destroyed. Then the pot was burning. It burnt and burnt and burnt. The only way we knew that it was burning was because when Nigeria equalized, Imejilawa, my father jumped up, he hit his hand against the fire. So I went to the kitchen to get something to clean his hands. Then I saw the ha. There's that. See the kind of attention some of us give to these things when it comes to God's word. After 20 minutes, you look at your watch. What session? That's what should be true soon. You know, you are exercised in vanity because you have started looking at results. Results. What can I get out of this? Today, we are teaching in church that there is no receiving when you give. That you give. That you don't, you are not blessed because you give. There is no blessing to giving. The blessing is that you give. And some folks will just say, so, that means there's nothing you need for me. Okay, so they just look at their pocket and bring 5 naira. After all, nothing goes for nothing. Do you understand? They have been exercised in vanity. It's a worldly way of thinking that you must get something out of something. Ha! You must get something out of something. Now listen to this. So he said, look at it very well. No matter how much you try, you won't get the answers. No matter how much you try, you won't get the answers. Verse 1, chapter 9. For all this I consider in my heart, even to declare this, all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hands of God. No man knows either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come like all. And he begins to talk. The verse 3, there's an evil among all, which are done under the sun. There's not one event unto all. Yea, also the hearts of the sons of men is full of evil and madness is in their heart, which they live, and after they go to bread. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Can you imagine? A living dog. For the living know what they shall die, that they shall die. For the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Everything they have been doing goes to nothing. Never have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done. And you see, something about this is that universal man, somebody said this and I think it is confusing. Universal man is witchcraft in thinking. People will not recognize you. It's when you die, they say, oh, He was a good man. And that's what they talk. He was a good man. So he's saying to you that, look, when a man goes, everything he has done goes with him. So he's even saying that the deeds of your hands amount to nothing. The things that you are trying to do, the kind of good moral representation you're trying to have, they amount to nothing. For, and also their love and their hatred and their envy is not perished. Neither have more in portion forever in anything that is under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with merry. For God now accepts thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife who thou livest all the days of your life, the days of the life of your vanity, which he has given thee under the sun. All days of vanity, for this is the portion of this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. He says, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave which you go. Can you see what he's saying? He said, look, even if you now say, well, after all, I'm still going to die. He said, look, where you are even going, there's no work. Say, whatever you want to do, do now. So he's debating. Okay, if we look at the afterlife, there's nothing to be done, nothing to accomplish. Let us do everything now. He begins to lose. That after all, when you are gone, whatever you have done is perished. So in verse 11, I returned. And I saw under the sun. Now look at this. He said, look. So go and walk. He said, go and walk. He said, whatever you want to do, do now. Do with all your might. Now in verse 11, he says, I returned. This is very key. Please follow this very, very well. He said, I returned. And then I saw under the sun. Interestingly, Christians quote this. They even confess it. The race is not to the swift. And not the battle to the strong. After all, he didn't go to battle himself. Neither yet bread to the wise. How, why did he go to battle? Because all the enemies were coming to receive wisdom from him. So he said, it's not to the strong. Neither yet bread to the wise. Nor yet riches to men of understanding. Nor favor to the men of skill. But time and chance happens to them all. This is not God talking. He looked at man and said, look, that word chance is opportunity. He just got an opportunity. That's why it's like that. What we call luck. It's a time and chance happen to them all. The race is not to the strong. I mean, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. For man, look at this. For man also knows not his time. As fish are taken an evil net, as the birds that are caught in the snare, as the sons of man stand an evil time, which falleth suddenly upon them. The wisdom I've seen also under the sun, it seems great unto me. So, all these things are observations. That when you look at life, they say, people say, life is not fair. I mean, I heard that before. Life is not fair. It's not fair. Look at me. And some people say, sometimes a parent will take a child. I'll say, this is the child. How do you call it? Say, Olori Omoabi. They take the child and say, this will be my son. This one, I will train him up. And at the end of the day, you discover that that's not the son that will bring the kind of glory he's looking for. So Solomon begins to wonder, say, why are things happening like this? It's because when it comes to vanity, there's nothing you can predict. Vanity is unpredictable. It only has one prediction, it will end. So when a man exercises the kind of thing, he says, look, the race is not to the swift. If you go and, go and do practice and you want to run, say, no, the battle to the strong. No. Look at life. You see weak nations today, strong nations tomorrow. You see people, I mean, look at the president of Nigeria. He said he would never have imagined as a child, if they had told him there's something called president of Nigeria, if they had told him as a vision, he never thought about it. That is life. And as a Christian, things like that do not bother you. But universal man is bothered. He says, how can somebody who, you don't have the same, they say, oh, whoa, Nero. Do you understand what I'm saying? That there's no risk that you will always have money. This man just came from nowhere. Before you knew it, he just became a deputy governor to governor. Governor, he became, he said, good luck to you. That time and chance, good luck to me. Now, if you now say, you're not praying for yourself, some people are not stupid. They're telling their children to good luck. Say, good luck. You understand? They are resting their souls in vanity.
So, he says time and chance happened to them all. Look at universities, that our classmates like this, best student award, he will come out. As he's still going to the bar, they are calling his name, he's coming out again. You will now get to the airport. You know, and he said, please move aside. So you ask those who are economic class, just stay one side. And that guy, with his first class, he cannot enter first class of plane. I thought with your first class degree, you should be first class airplane. He's even asking the ticket, is there no rebate on this? Ah, there should be a rebate now. Why now? It's return, can I? Or you're doing aero. He's trying to do 2 weeks. You know, first class degree, you're doing 2 weeks, aero. So it's 15K, the return ticket. And the guy who had 3 carryovers per semester. And he goes to the airport, they bought the ticket, and welcome, sir. Solomon said, what's going on? He sees the first class guy. He sees the guy with 2-1. He sees the guy with PhD. The guy cannot even afford to fuel his car. Do you understand? He gets to one slopey area. He puts up the, takes off the ignition. He gets to the petrol station. The first station, the guy is saying, ah, did I tell you to sell everything? I said 500. I said 5,000. He's angry. It's a time and chance. So some will now begin to pray. You are just thrusting your soul into vanity. This is vanity thinking. Time and chance happened to them all. So he says, look, there was a city. Verse 14. And few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. There was found in it, listen to this very well, a wise but poor man. And he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered the same poor man. I mean, is that not strange? Somebody who helped you, who delivered you. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, is it wisdom better than strength? Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise man are heard in quiet, more than the cry of him that rules among fools. Wisdom is better than a weapon of war, but one sinner destroys much good. He's just confused. Solomon is confused. That normally that man should be made king. They don't remember you. When last did we vote for the most brilliant scientist in Nigeria? You come out and you say, I have a program, the rail system, we're going to do this. You're going to explain to us how air blows in Lagos. That when the wind is blowing, we can channel the resource down to Lekki. Then we take the water. You explain with your God. So you just come. Good luck to you. So he's wondering. And the funny part is that the wisdom of that guy will use it. I mean, look. Which, have you ever seen an inventor who became president? They are always minister or something. Why minister? Why not the head? Said nobody hears their voice. Amen. Now, if you are not born again, you now say, forget wisdom. I want to be good luck to you. I'm not born again. Are you following this? Chapter 10. Dead flies caused the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is a reputation for wisdom and honor. They say a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. He also, he that is a fool walks by the way, his wisdom fails him, and he says to everyone that he is a fool. This, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding participate great offenses. There's an evil which I've seen under the sun, as an error which proceeds from the ruler. Holy is set in great dignity and a rich seat in low places. That is, you now see that how did this person, how in the world did this person happen, how did he get to this position? The error that comes from the ruler. It's confusing. And you see, that is why when the church, I've seen some ministers today, we need to give them altar call. They begin to complain. Nigeria must change. We have to have new leaders. Oh God, give us righteous leaders. There is no scripture for that kind of prayer. Give us righteous leaders. You know, can you imagine Jesus' prayer meeting? You now call disciples. Let us pray to change Pilate. Oh, every Pilate in this land, die, die, die. Oh Lord, install another Solomon. Install another David. Waste of time. Because even if you get a good ruler, it is turned into what? Vanity. If you have a good president who gives you 5K per minute as a citizen, it is still what? Vanity. But when you don't understand this simple truth of God's word, you begin to see those things. A good society, there's water flowing, everything. That's why some people, this is by the way, there are so many Nigerians in the UK and America who don't want to come home. They don't have jobs though. But their problem is that they say, this place is very good. You see a Christian. You say, why are you coming home? You say, no, sir. I'm trying to reapply. This place is very good. There's water, there's light, there's no anywhere. The generator's working. I was in Singapore one time. So we're having a discussion, a business meeting. So we're all talking about why Nigeria uses a lot of oil, diesel. So we said we have generators and all that. So I said, Nigeria uses a lot of generators. I said, for instance, I use like 3 sometimes, but I use 2 and all that. The guy said, they have a very big one and all that. We're talking. I said, so we're all on the same page. The guy was from India. So I said, you know, sometimes, in fact, at times, the generators are so loud, you can't even sleep. He listened a little bit. He didn't understand. I thought probably I used to sleep in the factory. So he kept quiet. He said, okay. I said, you know, so sometimes even, when I now said, sometimes even my children, I said, children? Said, you mean you use generator in your house? I said, what were you talking about? I said, no, I was referring to my factory. I said, no. He said, they give us 23 hours light. Then 1 hour for all the industrial areas. I said, but where people live is 24 hours, they don't take light. So 1 hour, so we get a generator for that 1 hour. I said, you sleep with generator?
I said, let's take the subject.
Now, the man I'm talking to is an unbeliever. To try to live like he lives is vanity, because with all his light, 24 hours, he will go to hell. He has no control over his spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, we go to countries who don't have the gospel. We want to emulate them in Nigeria. Say, Nigeria shall be great people, great nation. Nigeria shall be great again. We are the generation that will change Nigeria. You better don't be stupid. You won't change any country. Go into all the world, amen, and preach the gospel to every creature. That is reality. Stop chasing vanity. Look at the most industrialized nations in Europe. They are godless nations. Nations that they are godless. And they are well industrialized. And they are godless. The country where in Europe, they don't steal. They said they checked the 0% rate. They tested Nigeria without even dropping the money people stole. That is the person who was carrying the money there. He hasn't even gone to put the money where they were supposed to put the money. They had already picked his pocket. So he couldn't even carry it. This one, 100%. He got to this country. I don't want to mention the name of the country. They said for a whole year. They now said that their crime rate was 0.01%. I went to another country like that. And then, as I was in the shopping mall. So I was talking to them and all that. And I said, what do you do in Nigeria? I said, I'm a pastor. I said, oh, 4 of them just came together. Father. Yeah, I just said, okay, no problem. So, and I now forgot. I was doing shopping, so I forgot the money. I forgot the goods. You don't know what I was thinking. I forgot everything. I went back to the hotel room. I said, sometimes I just say, I didn't carry anything. Like it's a rapture or something. So, no, it's not rapture. You see, I'm still on earth. I went back there. You know, they actually kept the money and wrote my name, Father. I kept my goods. Sometimes if you make the good, it's okay. But the money. I'm talking about dollars. US dollars. And they kept it there. And they have 5% Christians in the country. Whatever good works they are doing is what? Vanity. I hope you know. I think Solomon has told us, have you? It's vanity. Hallelujah.
Someone say, so don't be overtly righteous, don't be overtly. You are also a man in vanity. Praise the Lord. Alright. Now look at this. He says in verse 10, if the iron be blunt and it doth not wet the edge, then must it be put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. He says, look, you are using a blunt instrument. You just be applying unnecessary strength. Say, go and get wisdom to direct you. Surely the serpent would bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow him up himself. Because of the words of the wise of the mouth is foolishness, and the end of the talk is mischievous madness. A fool is also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, but what shall be after him, who can tell? The labor of the foolish wearies every one of them, because he knows not how to go to the city. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed thou, O land, when thy king is a son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decays, and through idleness of the hands the house drops through. A feast, now listen well to this one. A feast, you know, he says, is made for laughter. Now, we have read about laughter earlier, have we? We've seen that laughter itself is what? Vanity. Okay? And wine maketh merry. But money answers what? Those the word things is in italics. Answers all. Answers what? For the laughter and the merry. That is, if you just want to be happy, you can be happy, just go and do party. Call your friends. You know, people like that. Well, you just go out on a Friday evening with friends and just party, just to laugh. And, you know, it doesn't mean that they are happy. He says, if you want to get happiness, if you want to get merrymaking, money can answer it. But you know, today in churches we hear money answers all things. Yet what he's saying is that money answers the vanities of your soul. Money can help produce the vanity of your soul. Cost not the king, know not in thy thoughts, and cost not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, that with wings shall tell the matter. Chapter 11, verse 1. I mean, the basic thing he's telling you here is that, look, if it is just enjoy life, that life itself is vanity, money can do it for you. So people are looking for money to get laughter. And then when they get the laughter, they will now discover that there's a time to laugh and a time to cry. That while money can buy laughter, money cannot send away crying. So they'll say, so it's just vanity. Are you following what I'm saying? Now go on. Chapter 11 verse 1 now says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven. Of course, the seed sowers always use this scripture. There's no scripture they don't lift. Give a portion. Now let's see what it means. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. For thou knowest not the evil shall be, not the what evil shall be upon the earth. If the cloud be full of rain, the emptiness of all the earth. This is not a spiritual thing. The cloud is full of rain. That's simple. What do you call it now? Ideology. The cloud is the Holy Ghost, and you know, don't go crazy. Okay. And if, because finish it, and if the tree falls towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observes the wind shall not sow. Simple farming techniques. He that regards the cloud shall not reap. Okay? As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, or how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who makes all. That's the conclusion of universal man. He thinks it is God. Okay? In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest where thou shalt prosper, either this be, or that way shall be alike good. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years, and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be what? Many. All that cometh is what? Vanity. That is, as this man is rejoicing in money, wealth, and riches, let him know that a time again will come where that money and the riches will not satisfy the travails of his soul at that period. Look at verse 9. Rejoice, O young man. So he comes to a point now that this is where the lesson is. He now comes
apparently say, rejoice, O young man. Of course, he wrote this after several years. Let's even assume that he had 1,000 wives, I mean, 700, 300, assume he took them, one per week. Right? That means, okay, let's say one every 52 weeks in a year, that's 20 years. That means he took at least 20 years. He was just marrying women. By the time he wrote this, he was an old man. So he got all these observations by what? Experience. And is it experience in the word? Because we have just read about his life, that when money became much, fame became much, Solomon's heart was turned to idols. You know, there are people today who believe that all they need is money. All I just need is just give me money. Some ministries also believe that all they need is money. So the time they should be spending in prayer and to study God's word, they are looking to us, they are masking, they say, don't worry, when the money comes, we'll preach the word. It's not true. It's not true. So don't, now look at, so we have seen the futility of money, fame, wealth and knowledge. That's even knowledge. Knowledge like scientific knowledge, you engineering, law, medicine. He now says, oh young man. So he talks to a man without this experience. He speaks to the man. In thy youth, let thy heart cheer thee in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. But note thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into what? Judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are nothing. That is, he's saying to you, look at this. He's saying, look, everything you have, wealth, knowledge, riches, everything, fame, they will still come to testing. Things are going to be shaken. Things are going to happen that you will not be able to control. He said that to the young man. Now, he now begins to admonish him. Chapter 12, verse 1. Are you there? Okay, I said the word judgment in verse 9 is examination. Change that in your translation. So it says, when you are in the prime of your life, look at me now. Solomon begins to tell you this. And this is instructed to many of us who are young here. Say, when you are in the prime of your life, begin to look into the future. And don't live like all you have is today. There is tomorrow. And there are people like that. You know, they just believe that. I say to young people, I'm young, I have time. He now says in chapter 12, verse 1. He says, remember your creator in the days of your youth. The best time where you can have the knowledge of God is when you are young. You see, this is the reason why we are parents who had lived their lives pursuing things like this. They had used their youth to pursue fame, knowledge, money, wealth, wisdom, and all that. Now, when they grow up, oftentimes, and I'm saying this, in you know, and they see their child pursuing the things of God. He gets saved early, and then they see that his pursuit is different. They get disturbed. Why? Why are they disturbed? Now, this debate of Solomon, Solomon can come to the conclusion of vanity because he was a wise man. Sorry to say, you don't become wise because you are old in age. Some people, parents now, I am a parent too. If I base my parenthood on my experience in life, that I'm old, I'm older than my children, I'm just reveling in foolishness because there are people older than me. So the strength of parenting should be the word of God that is older than everybody, wiser than everybody. Now, oftentimes those parents begin to feel jittery because they feel, you mean, somebody was telling me one day, he met me in one place, he said, so they were talking about the past. So I said to them, I can't remember being an unbeliever. said, so the man said to me, he's a business partner. He said, you mean, oh, I said, no. He said, oh, Jata. I said, no. He said, ah. You know, they couldn't understand. So, my path in life and the experiences I have will differ. My mode of thinking will differ. It says to remember, because the time you can remember God and retain the word of God, when it will be most effective for you is when you are young. In the days of your youth. Why? He now says something. The debater says something. He says, look, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in death. Now, look up. You know, people tell you oftentimes, you say, you know, when you graduate from university, they say, come into the real world. Right? Why? Because they have an experience that they think that when you are young, things can be blossoming. But when you begin to grow older, go look for a job, there's no job, you get a job, things happen, you have children, there are issues of life and all that. They call those the evil days. But you see, when somebody is born again, his life does not change. His life does not change. Because if he's living by the word of God, he is not living unto vanities. Now, in this instance, people tell you that, look, things will change, and because Solomon has told you there's a time under heaven. So you say, look, if you are young, there's a time you are going to be old, there's a time things are going to change. I mean, a practical way, when I was younger, before I got married, when GSM first came out there, I used to flash my father, I'll flash him, he'll call me back. I used to flash him a lot, it was the only person I used to flash. So the day I got married, the second day I flashed him, he didn't call me back. I flashed him, he didn't call me back. Ah. I don't know this guy now. So I now called him, just telling that I've been flashing. I said, Daddy, I've been flashing. He said, why? I said, ah. He said, are you not married? He said, if you know you cannot afford food, then don't get married. Please, leave my food. So there's a time for everything. You understand? Just tell me the evil day has come. So naturally, life is like that. And if you are not settled on the word of God, you think life is not fair. I hope you are listening to this. Okay. So while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few, and they look out of the windows be darkened. So it begins to paint to you that look, when you are young is the most potent period to now begin to have the right kind of experiences. You have the advantage to throw yourself into the knowledge of God's word. Paul said to Timothy, he says, the things you have learned, say, continue in them, knowing and being persuaded through of whom you learned them. 2 Timothy 3:14-15 says, for from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which have made thee wise. Can you see that now? You have known the holy scriptures, which have made thee wise, even unto salvation through faith that is in Christ. So the truth of the matter is, what do you use your youth to do? So you determine the kind of experience you have in life. But the time when you are young, rather than remember your creator, it's not just remember and say, I know God. Remember, I remember. His name is God. It's Jehovah Elohim. He's saying retain the knowledge of the word of God when you are young. That word remember there has to do with strong meditation. That an overriding thought in your mind. As a young man, young woman here, is the word of God the overriding thought? See the overriding emotion in your soul. Now watch this. Verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. That is, everything in the world is vanity. Everything is vanity. Look at this. Verse 9. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, Please follow this now. Because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Are you following this? He still taught them knowledge. You know, he was the wisest man on earth. He said, I didn't close my school. I didn't close my university. I didn't stop reading. And sought out and set in order many proverbs. And his preacher sought to find out acceptable words. And that was he was upright, even the words of truth. The words of the wise are as goats and as nails fastened by the master of assemblies and were given from one shepherd. And further by this, my son, be admonished of making many books. He says, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. He says, I didn't stop. I continue giving people counsel. I started telling them things, discovery and all that. He said, we're doing that, but it did not yet end the pursuit of nothing can satisfy you. Did you hear me well? If, for instance, we say relationships, you want to go and marry to be satisfied. When you marry the man or the woman, you will see that you are not satisfied. If it's a job, have you seen some people? That is why some people have CV. From 1992 to 1994, they were with Julius Berger. 94 June to 94 April, July, they were with. So, I mean, there's just an insatiable pursuit of humanity. When Wolesho Yinka wrote, the man died, and Trans of Odajero, and the materials he wrote, and they gave him Nobel Prize, at least, that means in his field, he was the best at that period. He got the Nobel Prize. In his field, he was the best. But you know he has written many books after? What's he looking for again? That is universal man. He said Bill Gates, richest man in the world, that his money is so much, and he told us that look, he's giving part of his money to what? To charity. And he not stopped doing business. Has he stopped doing business? He won't stop. Because there is no end to the pursuit of vanity. Vanity makes a thirst. When a thirst has been fulfilled, it creates another thirst. That is vanity. So he says, I didn't stop to teach knowledge. Though, you know, he already knows that knowledge is futile. He said, I didn't stop. I kept doing my, so don't say from now you won't go to work. Everything is vanity, sir. He said, I didn't stop. However, this is where we are going. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. That is, when the debate is done, he says, what is the end of this debate? We have come to the right. We have come to the left. We have seen if you stay on the right, it's vanity. If you stay on the left, it is still what? Vanity. Now, if you do what he said in chapter 7 now, I say in the middle of the road, I say, small evil, small good, it is still what? Vanity. So what is the, so it's not about balancing things. What is the conclusion of the matter? It says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment, that word is examination, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, very, very bad translation, verse 13, when it says the whole duty of man, the word duty there, is not in the originals. What the Hebrew says is that when a man fears God and does his word, that man becomes fulfilled. So man's fulfillment is found in obedience to God. Not in results, it's in obedience, reverence and obedience of the word of God. You cannot, you know, let me tell you what obedience is not. Look up now. Obedience, look here, obedience is not, I am doing it so that, that's not obedience. Obedience is not so that I will have long life. Whenever you attach something to obedience but obedience, you are having a lustful, selfish pursuit. Obedience is, he said so, and that is it. What is the benefit of salvation? Salvation. Hallelujah. Ah. For nothing. What is the benefit of Christ? Christ himself. What is the proof? What are you gaining in salvation? Salvation itself. There is nothing after it. Hallelujah. Is the end product. So the only place where man can find wholeness, fulfillment, and satisfaction is in obedience. Why? For he has created all things and for his pleasure. The reason why man could not find pleasure and fulfillment in things was because God did not make him for things. God did not make man for things. He didn't make man for money. He didn't make man for marriage. He didn't make man for results. He made man for himself. And the only place you can find that rest in your soul is in him. Are you listening to this? Are you following this? That's the end product of everything. When a man, and listen to this now, the only proof of obedience is obedience itself. Just to obey. So Jesus told us, therefore, before we get to that, Proverbs 3:5, the wisdom that Solomon had, he said, trust in the Lord, hallelujah, with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him most of the time in all your ways. In all your ways. And he shall direct your path. Listen to me. The Bible, the Word of God, is the manual for human life. It's not just the manual for being, you know, you just keep your Bible and you put it at the back of your car. Then Sunday you pick it up. You are living a vain life. That Bible is the manual for everyday living. Or else you will find yourself in vanity. You will find yourself pursuing vanity all over the place. Look at it today. Employers of labor are asking Christians to work on Sunday morning. They don't even care anymore. Why? Because Christians have pushed. When we were younger, when we got saved, of course, majority of believers then did not believe that God could even want to prosper you financially. So people just did things moderately as it were, and then, you know, just whatever you have, small car and all that, and, you know, people were satisfied as the case may be. As time went on, people came around and said, no, God wants to prosper you. And because that message was not taught from the scriptures, it brought worldliness to the souls of men. So today, your employer will tell you you have to work on Sunday. Okay, sir. Then you go and meet your pastor. Sir, I can't make service. I have to work. What happened to you? You are not whole again. You have lost your completeness. You have come to the place of completeness in Christ. And Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, he said, look, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, look here, the birds of the air, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He said, are you not much more better than they? Universal man wants to prove a point that he can accomplish something, he can achieve something. And you see people saying, what have you achieved in life? Who feel that, you know, today, look up, people have, they lack it. For instance, if you go among your classmates, you are born again, right? As you even go further, you are a minister in the sense of you preach the gospel. And then people are talking about what they do. And everybody says, I'm a banker. I did this. I went to University of Oxford University. I got this degree in finance. It says, I was in this meeting and all that. So they want you to talk. Do you know that it takes a man who knows reality to say, I'm a preacher, I'm a Christian? When you say I'm a Christian, you feel unfulfilled. Like, you mean this is all I can offer in this meeting? Are you following what I'm saying here? Why? Because you have been exercising vanity. That's what's going on to you. You've been exercised in vanity. Now listen to this. In the epistles, Romans chapter 8, the cure to vanity is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Cure to vanity is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8. The Bible says, in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, joint heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are nothing, not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now look at 20. For the creature was made subject to what? Vanity. Not willingly, but by the reason of him who was subjected the same. So man was to wander around and find no answers. Hallelujah. He was to find no answers after the spiritual, the entry of spiritual death into humanity. Man will find no answer in things. He will resort to things. He will start to, because he's far from God, he will begin to wander around the things God created. And the Bible says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Hallelujah. Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, it relates that to the physical body, how there will be a deliverance from the physical body. But that glorious liberty of the sons of God has been received in the spirit of man, in Christ Jesus. At the new birth, you were delivered from vanity. Say, I have been delivered from vanity. At the new birth, you have been delivered, set free, released from vanity. You have been released from that which has an end, that which is futile, empty, and senseless. The glorious liberty of the sons of God. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Paul now renders this like this. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vanities in the Lord. Are you listening there? Your labor is not in things. Your pursuit is not in things. That is the reason why you will be steadfast and you will be movable. Because he knows that things of this world are likely to move you. He says, but because your labor is not in those things, you are immovable. But you know, today, if somebody loses his job, he won't come to church. If someone's car has a problem, he won't come to church. Why? His labor is in what? Vanity. Someone has a problem with his academics. It's not good to have problems. I mean, if you read very well, Bible teaches you read, you know, and to work dutifully. But if eventually you now fail, the guy takes it out on the service of God straight. And I've served God all these years, and I don't have a car to show for it. I'm going to church, I don't even have a phone. So what am I, what is it, what does it mean for me? Your labor is not in things. The labor is in the Lord. Hence in chapter 15, he says in verse 14, this is very, very key. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is worthless and your faith is in things. So a lot of things was, a lot is premised on that redemptive work of Jesus. Redemption takes us from vanity to reality. The fact that Christ died, rose from the dead, I believe it. I begin to dwell in reality. That is the only reality in humanity. Every other thing is sinful.
Only redemption counts. Hallelujah. Only redemption counts. And if a man has received redemption, he has come to the end of all pursuits. He is in Christ, the end of all things. For he said of him, he is the beginning, and it's not just a continuation, it's the very ending. Hallelujah. A man enters that rest, and from that point, he has no pursuit that takes over his soul. He goes to work, he gets salary, he does well in his business and all that. But if peradventure, anything contrary happens, the man is not moved. You know why? His labor is not in things. His pursuit is not in things. His pursuit is in eternal things. Eternal things found only in Christ. 1 Timothy 4. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. Christ being arisen, he says, your faith is vain. And what is that vanity? Verse 17. If your faith is vain, then you are yet in your sins. So I've been taken away from vanity. I've been delivered from vanity. That means the most prized possession I have is salvation. Hallelujah. That's the most prized possession. Oh, you just lost your phone. You don't lose your joy is not lost. Are you there? You lost your joy. Your joy is not lost. The only thing that can make you lose your joy is when you lose your salvation. And blessed be God. Our salvation is forever possessed. That means forever. We are in reality. We are already in eternity. We are in that which cannot end. Things of life. That's why a man, Paul, who had labored so well. Man, Paul was a wealthy man, in case you want to know. Because he fed people, he gave, he took care of himself and several families. But it got to a point, for the sake of the gospel, Paul was in prison in Philippians chapter 4. And for that case, Bible says that Paul was in want. He was in necessity. He had to ask others to help him. You know what he said? He said, I am independent of every circumstance. I'm instructed how to act, whether I am in lack or I'm in plenty. I can do all things through Christ that strength. That means that with Christ Jesus within me, I am independent of things. I'm independent of things. Would you do more evangelism if there's no money in your pocket again? If you have nowhere to live, there's no place to lay your head, would you still be praying like you're praying? Or everything is premised on vanities. Vanities. People go to church today because of vanities. Ah, that church, fully AC'd. That church, good music. They have been living in vanity. My life is built on the word of God. On the integrity of the word. You know what binds the word of God? The very death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If that never happened, then everything in the Bible is a lie. Everything is built around it. It is that redemptive work that binds the whole scriptures. But blessed be God. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, in your mouth and your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. Where I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I am saved. Hallelujah. I've come to the place of reality. Reality. I'm into reality. I'm not into vanity. Because the wealthiest man in the world said it is vanity. He didn't find rest in it. He said the wholeness of man is found in obedience. I have obeyed the gospel of Jesus. Today, I am completing him. Hallelujah. I am completing. I am not complete by relationships. I am not completed by the jobs I do. I am not completed by the fame that comes with things. I am not completed by the things that happen around me. I am complete in him. I am complete. I am complete. His fullness have we all received. Grace for grace. There was a fool in the Bible. Bible says about that man, Luke 12. He was so wealthy, he had bought all the companies in his country. It got to that point that the money was so much, there was not even enough bank accounts to preserve the money. Banks were calling for his account. So he says, see, soul. He was living his life in vanity, and his creator said, tonight, the soul shall be required from your hand. You know the funny part? All he got that he never spent. Hallelujah. He never spent.
I am not into vanity. I'm not into vanity. Hallelujah. Are you still there? The cure is in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you what it is. What we received in Christ, we came from a selfish world. A world, if you look at all the musings of Solomon, it was targeted towards what? Self. All the musings of Yumasan Man is, how come I am not satisfied? How come I am not, I've done this to myself, I'm not okay. I've done this to myself, I'm not okay. Yumasan Man lives to himself. Now, watch this. The cure is that unselfish life that we have received in Christ Jesus. Where we no longer, 2 Corinthians 5, live unto ourselves. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for the love of Christ, verse 14, verse 13, for whether we be beside, it is God, or whether we be just sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us. Because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they should live not henceforth. They which live should live not henceforth unto themselves. To him that died for them and rose again. The very fall of universal man in Genesis 3 was when you eat of that tree, your eyes will open, you will be wise. We have come to a place of rest. It's now all about Jesus. It's not all about you anymore. It's all about Jesus. Because my faith is not in vain things. Faith is in the Word. 1 Timothy 6, as we close, Paul instructs the born again man, Timothy, a preacher of the gospel. Verse 6, for godliness with contentment is a great gain. But nothing to this world, certain we shall carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will desire to be rich shall fall into temptation, snare, to many foolish and thoughtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. The love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after they have erred from the faith, pierce themselves through with many sorrows. So he says to the rich man, he says, look, chat them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, but not trust in certain riches. Obviously, Solomon knew they were certain too. But in the living God who gives us richly, hallelujah, all things to enjoy. He didn't say, trust in the living God for. Do you understand? For the things we are going to enjoy. Trust in the living God who. That you trust in a person, not in the things that he gives. This is what Christ has done to us. We don't pursue things, we trust in God. Hallelujah. We obey the Lord. We follow his leading for our lives. Therefore, as the years come by, before you start to plan, 5-year plan, 10-year plan, 20-year, stop living in vanity. Hallelujah. You are led by the Spirit of God. You are a son of God. Stop living in vanity. So how's next year going to look like? Well, I'm following God's leading. Amen. I'm following his plan. I'm following his provision. I'm following his purpose. Hallelujah. I don't live in vanity. But I mean, have your targets, your goals. Well, if they happen, fine. If they don't, fine. I follow God's leading for my life. Hallelujah. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I've renounced a selfish lifestyle. I don't live unto myself. I live unto Jesus Christ. I am simply devoted to him. Hallelujah. From that simplicity, the Bible says, don't be beguiled, 2 Corinthians 11:3, that is in Christ Jesus. I'm not of this world. The Bible says, all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it says, they all will pass away. Only God's word will abide forever. Imagine Jesus and the devil, Satan said,
turn this stone to bread. Self. Throw yourself down. Angels will carry you so you have testimony. Self. Bow to me, I'll give you all the wealth. The one bank will be your bank account. All the oil reserves will be yours. Self. Self. For God is God and there's none beside Him. His glory He doesn't share with anyone. For He has created all things and for His own pleasure. They are and were created. God created you for Him, not for things. God created things for you, not you for things. We have been delivered from vanity to reality. Christianity is real. We are born again. I'm not of the flesh. I'm not of the world. I have overcome the world. It's lost and affections thereof. I'm a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. All things are become. All things are of God. I'm not looking for a pursuit. I'm a preacher of the gospel. How can I say you're a preacher of the gospel? Bible says, all things are of God who has reconciled me to Himself by Jesus. And has given unto me the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, and not imputing their own trespass against unto them, but has given unto me the word of reconciliation. Today, people argue whether they are called or not. Am I called? I know whether God is calling me to preach. I don't know why, because you are living in vanity. Yet, you don't ask yourself, anywhere God wants to be an engineer or be a doctor, you don't ask that because that is your own pursuit. And the scriptures are very clear. What believers ought to be doing all the days of their life. Let's close on 1 Timothy 4. Hallelujah. Did you get some out of this? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is. And of that which is to come. I taught this years ago, the best of two worlds. Hallelujah. Is in Christ Jesus. Whatever I'm doing now is eternal in nature. I'm born again. Born of God. What the word says I am. I walk in the will of God. I'm a man with control. I'm a man that is led. Led by God. Guided by God. I have a different lifestyle. Amen. I have things that I do. I have things I don't do. Praise the Lord. I find fulfillment in the Word of God. I'm just fulfilled praying. I'm fulfilled praying. I'm just fulfilled studying the Bible. I'm fulfilled hearing the Word of God. I'm fulfilled speaking the Word of God. I'm fulfilled practicing the Word of God. I'm fulfilled singing the Word of God. I'm fulfilled in God. Are you fulfilled in God?